Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rikari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. That's right. We're already talking about next year. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
As the seasons change, so do our selections. The seasonal selections from King's Coast Coffee Company are custom roast sourced and selected to pair with the changing of the seasons. We take the time to source and pair up coffees that reflect the current season and are roasted to highlight tasting notes that pair with the season on hand. Here for a while, then making way into the next, this is a great roast to try on its own or make any coffee subscriber happy. Guys, welcome in to episode 25 of Coffee and Shell. I'm Sleeves, joined by my co-host, as always, Kesso Paguni. And we are going to start episode 25 with a little bit of a reflection of how Kesso's life has gone over the last few days. Tell me how it's been, buddy.
Dude, there hasn't been a lot, man. It's been the searching menu in NHL 22 playing GWC qualifiers. Outside of that, dude, my wife and I got up early on a Saturday morning, took Bella for a walk. It was beautiful out. I'm excited for the summer. You know, I feel like I've said this before, but like it's like a repeat of like what the summer will be like. But now we have the puppy involved, waking up early, having a coffee, you know, going for a long walk in the neighborhood. I'm looking forward to it. It's just like, which probably sounds like death to like a 20-year-old or like a 19-year-old. It's like the weekends where you're just like looking forward to family time. But very excited. So that's about it.
I'm even jelly, bro. As someone who is not a newlywed anymore, I miss that. Not that it's going to fade for you guys. But I feel that. I mean, that's pretty good, though. A nice walk in the morning hits different, I got to say.
It's a great way to start your day. Get out there.
Being outside.
Yeah, dude. Because it's like during the week, because I work from home, it's literally waking up. And then starting work immediately just because I can't like wake up before it's like, let me rub my eyes. Let me log onto my computer. And then it's like, oh, there's the day. It's just, I'm starting here. I'm going to be at this desk for like 16 hours, you know, if I have class at night or something or whatever. So it's like, dude, I love the weekends and it's Sunday night. So, you know, I got the Sunday night blues right now, but we have
The Sunday scaries.
Yeah, exactly.
The Sunday scaries, man. All right, fair enough, dude. My weekend was awful, bro. I have been somehow in the post-pandemic world, I caught the flu. Like, not COVID, but I literally just got the flu. I did multiple, like, tests and whatnot. We have a bunch of rapid tests at home. Didn't have it at all. Sky was completely fine, so I was just like, okay. But I had, like, the full-blown, like, man-baby cold, like, where you're... You know, you got the chills, you're too weak to do anything, and you just lay there. So, which kind of sucked because it forced me to, like, not stream and not make videos for, like, 2 days, which I'm not accustomed to, and it made me get super anxious and whatnot. But I did get to roam around Twitch and watch the biggies, and that, I missed it. Like,
dude,
that was,
it was better than March Madness.
100%, man. So, again, guys, for anyone that doesn't know, I am not allowed to compete this year. Not that I would have qualified, especially because this year was my worst year. But I'm not allowed to qualify this year, and I'm not allowed to disclose why just yet. But nonetheless, it was fun watching everyone play. And I think that the thing about GWC that my favorite part about the GWC is because every game matters so much. And over the last few years, we spent a majority of these podcasts just absolutely clowning on EA. We'll start early in this one. they've removed the feeling of necessity of winning out of every mode, even champs, because they've cheapened it with the reward system where you just have to get 11 wins and you've made about 125,000 coins, and that's more than enough. And then because 11 wins is basically the same as 15 wins in terms of collectibles, you know, it really doesn't matter. You just get 11 wins, like, oh, I'm losing this game, whatever, I'll just quit out and I'll just win, get my 11 wins eventually. And obviously that's that makes the each game just feel less and less. It's chores. It makes it feel like chores. Yeah. GWC is not that, because every L is huge, especially for the fringe player. So, like, the last 2 years, I've been a fringe player, and if you get out to a hot start, let's say you're 12-0, like, man, those searches, oh god, they're terrifying.
They just get longer and longer too.
Dude, yeah, so we're going to talk a lot about the GWC today. You know, because I think that that's a big focus on the NHL community, and we're very different sides of it, because you're someone that has a real shot at winning and I'm someone that will be hopefully covering the event. So I guess we can just jump into it early, man. Let's talk about the GWC a little bit. So let's talk about your qualification process and the good, the bad, and the ugly from it.
Yeah. So I got off to a hot start. I started off like 15-0, maybe somewhere around there.
How many games did you, again, boys, I'm not trying to interrupt. I'm trying to get the things that you probably want to hear. So yeah. Pardon me. Tell the guys how many games you played each day.
Yeah. So first day I started off with like 3 games during my lunch break. I streamed for an hour after work, ended up streaming about like 5 games. Did the same thing the next day, lunch break, streamed. After work, I streamed, played another like 4 to 5 games. So I was trying to do them in smaller blocks, not for like any point reason, like, oh, I'm going to wait, play more games to hopefully other people get more games and accumulate more points. That wasn't really a reason. I like splitting them up. It works with my schedule a little bit better. And I think the more you play, the worse you get. Especially if you're playing like 6-7 games in a row, you're playing against people varying skill levels, right? So like one game I could be playing a D1 player, close game. Next game I could be playing like somebody in Division 10. And then you just get those bad habits. So I just like splitting it up into like those 4 to 5 game blocks, because it helps me play better. So I ended up doing that throughout, and then finishing up, I want to say Saturday off. I had to play my last game off stream because there's a lot of reverse stream sniping for some players I wanted to catch and get a game against them.
We should talk about that. So for anyone that doesn't know, or maybe you're not competing in the Game World Championship, there is a for players like Kesso, there's an advantage, because we'll say, yeah, it is an advantage because people know that Kesso and Polgs and those kinds of players are some of the best in the game. Obviously, you don't want to play them. And I can understand because, again, wins are so, like, losses hit so hard, because 5 losses out of 25 games and you're pretty much cooked. Mm-hmm. You know, prior years, I mean, we'll talk about this in a little bit too, but prior years, 21 wins was needed and you need to have a lot of points.
Yeah.
This year, I think it's going to be much less than that, but nonetheless, you'd watch streamers like Kesso, and we call it reverse sniping, where you're sitting in there watching because you don't want to search when he's searching. And obviously that takes place quite a bit, and it leads to, it was funny watching like Polg stream on, and he plays on the Xbox X queue. When one person like him, like one of the quote unquote like best in the world or best in North America are streaming, it just stops the entire search queue for like anyone with more than 5 wins. Yeah. Like it is, I would love to see the actual amount of games drop off, because
I want to see the numbers behind it.
Yeah, because when he was streaming, I think Polg searched like 45 minutes, couldn't get a game. And when you're searching that long, it expands. So like eventually you get down to, but because GWC really tries to keep you hard locked into around your win total or like your win rate, because it can't just go all the way out. Because if that was the case, Polgs would just keep matching against guys that are like 1-7. Mm-hmm. And where that might happen in Hut Champs, it won't happen in GWC. They like hard lock it. So you could just see the entire matchmaking just completely shut down for 45 minutes. And, you know, say what you want about it, it's the reality of this event. And obviously I think there are probably better ways to do it. And a lot of, I understand the arguments against, you know, why do people do this? Why is there discords where they don't, you know, where certain people are in, some of the top end players are in it, and they're like, hey, I'm searching, so don't search. I want to get your thoughts on that, because I think that's a really big negative like connotation that a lot of the, you know, maybe fringier players think, or maybe even some of the player base that doesn't compete. The thought should be you want to play the best always. Tell me about, you know, that experience and that kind of system working in the background, because there is chats where, you know, top end players like, I'm searching, don't search.
Yeah. So you saw it on my stream a lot this weekend. So I would be searching. Gren would, be searching like before that, right, for hours.
Yep.
And it got to the point where it's like, hey, I was streaming, and it's like, hey, I'm gonna search for a little bit because there's no point for us to match up. So, yep. And I say that because it's like, because people stream their searching queues, you have a lot of the players that might finish within like the top 20 to 100 range, just not search at all, right? So they just remove themselves from the searching queue. So if we didn't like have that communication, me, Gren, Regs, Canadians, we would only play each other for the last probably 5 to 10 games. And then you'd have those people that finish in the 20 to like 100 range have free reign elsewhere to finish way ahead of us in the rankings, right? So did I explain that well? I think that's
good.
Yeah,
so I'll try and like.
Yeah, I'm always bad at it. Yeah, I'm good at totally explaining like NHL stuff in the game itself. But yeah,
and again, guys, what Kessler's basically saying is that like if pretend there was no chats or anything like that, I think streaming is really the issue. Mm-hmm. Like, because if you didn't stream, and that would drastically change things. And I think in 2019. Streaming still wasn't really big in the NHL community.
Every good player streams now, really.
Now, yeah. Like, you didn't stream back then. Polgs never streamed. There was no Saphir. Even Gren didn't stream until, like, NHL 20. So no one really streamed NHL competitively because there really wasn't a competitive scene. So back then you never had that. But what ends up happening, guys, is that, yeah, obviously it's not fair that Kesso can't, like, stream, because, you know, that's the case. When Kesso streams, he's trying to find a game, and everyone in there, I would say there's at least 50 players probably out of the top 100, maybe, for sure.
I was seeing a lot of names. Like, I would look at the and I never look at the viewer list, but yeah. I was really curious. I'm like, I want to see who's in here this time watching me that never watches me. And then I created a role where if you're reverse stream sniping me, you gotta gift a sub, which I don't think anybody followed. But I was like, you gotta gift a sub at least if you're not gonna play.
Yeah, so what would end up happening, guys, is they wouldn't search. So now let's by the logic of, you know, good players shouldn't be avoiding other players. So yeah, like he said, Regs goes because he needs to find a game. Now he's got to play Kesso because all of the 25 to 100 ranked players, they're like, I'm not playing Kesso. But Regs isn't scared to play anyone. Either is Kesso. You're not scared to play anyone, because when you're at that level, it's like you're in a position where you can pretty much beat anyone that you're going to match up with, or at least have a shot to. Like, if you match up with Gren, you might not win 50% of the time, but you win 40% of the time.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? It's not out of the realm where you just simply won't win. So then all of those guys are playing each other, and then you finish your runs, and then you've got all the guys that have no shot of winning the GWC. That's the key part here, is it's the people that have no shot at really winning that are benefiting from it. And this event is, again, I've covered this event as, you know, on like with the NHL for the last like 3 years, and I love seeing this game played at its highest level by players that understand the game better than anyone else for a lot of money. And it really cheapens it when there's players that groove their runs, make it to a spot where they're being broadcasted, and then they've got to go up against Gren or yourself and just get absolutely shellacked. You know, it's not a very good viewing experience. It's not good for the, you know, I'm all about having new players become up and new guys come onto the scene. I think that's the best part about this event. I think that, like, when, like, I'm trying to think of someone.
There was Nuke that came around a few years ago.
Nuke,
right?
Yeah. He was ranked
number 73 in the qualifiers. And I remember there was a point where I think it was Rahanic sent out a tweet, and it was like, oh, this guy named Nuke's going to get destroyed by like X player. Right.
Yeah.
And Nuke, I think that year he won the Canadian regional. He was arguably the best player. I know he didn't win the whole thing, but he was arguably the best player in the world that year. He was really good. He came out of nowhere. And that was a conversation that kept coming up this weekend. Because there was a guy that kept coming to my channel, like, trying to, I guess, harp on what I was doing or what, like, Gren or Regs was doing. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a difference between like being an underdog and making it far or whatever, and then being like a deserved underdog, where like maybe an underdog has like an easy bracket run, right? And you make it far just because you have like an easy bracket, just how like maybe luck came into play or whatever. But then Nuke was a legit like underdog, but he ended up beating like all the great players, right? Like he deserved to be there. It wasn't luck that he made it that far. So no. I think there's a difference between that and just like, you know, how the bracket falls.
No, absolutely. And don't get me wrong, guys. I'm not saying that the top end players should not play each other, but they should not play each other until they're at like 20 wins. Like yeah. Where they would actually play each other. Let's take streaming out of the equation. Let's take Discords out of the equation. If you were to just play and you would get matched with whoever is searching, at a certain point, Kessa would match Regs or Gren would match Regs at like 20-2. And you'll see it. If you go to the guys at the top of the leaderboard, like if you pulled up yours or Gren's or Meso Trippies at the top, the last three games they played or four games they played, they are against absolute studs in the directory that have a real shot at GWC this year. So, and that's how it should be. It's mm-hmm. just what unfortunately happens is you're going to end up forcing the top end guys to have to play each other, get three losses on their record at like, because no one else is searching, you know?
Yeah, that happened to me this weekend too. Like it was me and then the player Don't Taves Me. Mm-hmm. We were both like 21-2. We were both streaming, and it's like at this point, like there's only a few games left. Like let's play each other, and then like so like my last 2 to 3 games were difficult, close games against good players. And that's how I want it to be. You know, I almost wish there was a thing like you can only match the same player once, right? So realistically, if I played Regs, Gren, et cetera, we can only match each other once, but because the matchmaking is what it is, if we just all kept searching, we would just be playing each other repeatedly. And we saw that. Right?
Well, that was a little bit different scenario, but yeah, there was a few guys like I'll use Henrique as an example. I've been flipping around to everyone's stream, so Henrique was doing his, and there was a point where like, CJ was the only one searching. Our boy Cammy, who was another very, very good player. And it was like, because Xbox is very barren compared to the PlayStation side, even PS4, like PS4 compared to Xbox One, there is just way more player base on that. And same with PS5 and Xbox Series X. And it was like in the middle of the afternoon. And it was like, if they were to search, they would get each other like three times in a row. Mm-hmm. Just because there is no one else playing, some of it was reverse stream sniping, but it just because there's not very big of a player base, and that's an EA thing, not an NHL thing. Like that, the cross console would have solved. If cross console comes in next year, which God I pray it does, the GWC is going to look far different. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, it will, right?
You've got threats, but the other issue that people keep forgetting about is that this game is server-based, meaning that not only is your console separated, but your server is separated. So you're playing against a very small pocket of people, very small, and it's led to the leaderboards looking uglier than years past, I would say. There was a lot of players I've never seen or would have expected to be in the top 32.
Yeah.
And we're recording this before all the things have been ironed out, but there's still a lot of guys in there. And that's good. I mean, it's good to see new players. Like I said, new players step up. I think that this game, again, the skill gap in this game is at its lowest.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. What's been interesting, though, we were talking a little bit before we pressed record here, and I'm playing on PS5, and you look at like the top 6 ranking right now, which has a chance to change. But it's like almost exactly what you'd predict, right? So there's like Regs, there's Gren, there's Canadians, there's myself, there's Miso Trippy, and I think like Nip and Biscuits, who I, you know, had the fortune to beat this weekend in a very exciting game. But
he gave it to him.
I wouldn't say that. But so it's like for as bad as we claim, I guess the skill gap is. I was surprised to see like the top rankings ironed out like that to where.
I think that is where the gap does exist in this game. Like there among the players that could win the GWC, the gap from them towards like what we call hut heroes, and for anyone that doesn't know what a hut hero is, it's basically guys that are very good in hut champs but have never performed well in an esports event. That's I deemed that as a term like 2 years ago. It's not derogatory. It's just like that's how you describe a player like that, right? Like so they've never really done well in GWC or tournaments, but they do well in hut champs. And you see, like, separating you guys from a shot that win in GWC and that, there's a little bit of a gap. But once you get into that like range, it's like, dude, like I went back and I looked last year, and 21 wins was needed on PlayStation. Mm-hmm. Every week. And this, I think you're going to see, and you had to have points. Like, there was guys that had 21 wins that simply did not make it as well.
I didn't even qualify week one last year because I played a couple like good games early on. Mm-hmm. And I had like two losses. Like, I'm not going to qualify. I don't want to qualify. So I ended up doing week two. But it was tough because like it's only two consoles. This year it's split between four. So yeah, we're probably going to see like 20 wins sneak in a couple
not
spots.
Not only that, man, like the disconnects. God, dude, you had to avoid those too. Like
that was. Well, I mean, I think you were in my stream once this weekend. I randomly, it's a neighborhood thing. It's a neighborhood mm-hmm. internet thing. I get disconnected around 1:01 p.m. during mm-hmm. the weekdays. If I'm still in a game, so like it'd be like 12:40. Sometimes I would try to sneak in like another game before I went back to work. But I was like, I'm not even going to risk finding a game and it going to overtime, and I'm going to disconnect from this game. And yeah, it's scary to think about, but you got to watch out for everything.
It's brutal. And again, that's what's happening a lot in the community this year is everywhere, every single person that has internet, your internet is basically, if you don't have fiber is a little bit different because that's the strongest connection you can have. But if you don't have fiber, which a lot of Canada does not, Canada has some of the worst internet in the world in terms of infrastructure. So your neighborhood, your internet connection, what they'll do is they'll cap upload and a little bit of download when someone's using a lot of it. And what they'll do is they won't shut off your internet connection, but they'll drastically bring it down, and it causes like a hiccup.
And just for 20 seconds too. That's it.
Yeah. And then it immediately comes back up. It's so that people like your next door neighbor who's like trying to watch a Netflix show doesn't buffer. Mm. Like that is the reason for it. And the issue is with NHL, more than any other video game, it's like there's no like allowance to have a little bit of a hiccup, because you don't disconnect from streams, you don't disconnect from the actual EA servers, you literally just disconnect from the game. And it's because if there's any slight lag hiccup to it, it just immediately shuts down. If you look at like MLB, there'll be a pause and it'll be like, hey, is this going to come back? And then it comes back and you're okay in that situation. But NHL, it's like,
nope, and it was just a recent change too. They used to have the long, like, oh, this game's lagging, it comes back. Yep. I don't know if it was this year that they changed it, but now it's just like, there's no give and take. Was it last year? Okay.
Yeah. Like last year, I remember the same situation happening, okay. But yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, in GWC, every loss, you saw a lot of guys that took disconnect losses that are very good. And I think that led to the records being a lot lower and the split player base. Like,
yeah.
So obviously better players are spread out as opposed to all be on one.
Yeah. There's one thing I wanted to ask you. I saw mm-hmm. Saphir, a great player. He tweeted out, I think it was him that tweeted, I might be wrong. Whenever you watch, and it's, I guess, not a question just for you, for myself too. Whenever you watch streams for GWC games, right?
You probably
have like 5 to 6 open up. Are you actively rooting for those players to lose, regardless of who they are, to see an upset, to see whatever? Because I found myself on Wednesday, we were in a Discord call, we were watching people's streams, and I was rooting against even if I was friends with them, I wanted to see losses. I was watching Polgs play, dude, and I love, dude, Polgs is the nicest kid, and I was like, I want to see him lose to this guy. It's like the fifth game, like, let me see the upset.
Dude, so I replied to that tweet. I'm like, and because like it was like 70% they said no, or they don't want to see the person lose if they're streaming. And I replied back with, the 70% of you are lying boldly right to our faces. So I was in your chat a lot whenever you streamed at noon, and man, I was just hoping for a loss and very open about
that's it. Terrible.
Dude, I was in there giving you crap the whole time.
Oh, dude, you're my biggest troll, I think, besides Haze Hype, but he got the big old ban this weekend.
He got the ban, dude. He gets a ban in my chat like every few days. And so I think they're almost all the top end guys are friends of mine. So I want chaos.
Yes.
I want, like, it's like March Madness. Like, that's really what these games are, because you lose a couple. And with how the format is this year, where if you get the one seed, you're basically guaranteed the easiest run all the way through. Like it reseeds enough until I think you get to the final four on your console. And then mm-hmm. it's a double limb best of three. And it's that you draft as well. So it's like versus. But other than that, going up to that point, which I think is the fourth round, like, so one would play 64, and then if there was an upset, one would play 52, and like, which, so that means that every game was so important. Yeah. And it was funny. I'll say this. I'll be very clear about this. I did not want you to lose to the point where it was like, oh my God, are you going to make it? I knew you were going to make it. So you were like 13-0.
Yeah. None of these guys, like, even if Pogues lost, which I was rooting for a loss for Pogues, like, he's only going to lose two games max. Yep. You know, I know he went undefeated, yep, I think.
But yeah, he did.
And that's the whole reason, right? And I was thinking about the seeding process where it's like, if one of these guys loses and they finish, like, maybe they finish like seventh, that Gren changes the whole bracket. Yeah.
Gren finishing second was insane. Cause like that's big for PS5. Anyone doesn't know who Gren is. Gren won the GWC last year, the North American Championship. He is one of the only people to qualify literally every year since the GWC's inception, which is crazy.
Like,
when you think about the games being different, and the best, like, NHL 18 was best of one.
To get
there every year is just such a crazy feat. And then he finally won last year. Him not being number one is big because, you know, I believe CAD right now is number one. And if we're being honest, you want Gren is the one player probably on PS5 that you don't want to play until you absolutely have to. And now you won't. You know, so it's pretty crazy. So, interesting to see how that shook out as well.
Yeah.
Anything else about the GWC we want to talk about?
Yeah. The Three Stooges on Xbox.
Oh, we got to bring that up. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. I think it was Friday night. I tweeted this out too. It was one of the dumbest and most entertaining sequences of NHL esports I have ever seen ever. And I have been involved fully in this event and every team event since NHL 19. So again, you probably won't know some of these guys, but I'll give you the story essentially. So a lot of the players, some of the players, when it became announced that all four consoles would be viable for the GWC, because we didn't know how the format was going to go. In December, they came out and said, hey, two people from every console will qualify for the Montreal LAN. And that's really what you want to get to. That's like your goal, because I feel like a lot of people, you know, they want to win the GWC, but I feel like a lot of them, their goal is to at least get to Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the pro players that are favored to win or be very close went back to the old gen consoles. So our man Josh Fearless, who we've known for a decade almost.
Decade, yeah.
He went back from Xbox Series X to Xbox One in the attempt to get an easier run. Eki did the same thing, I think, the last like 3 years.
Eki's always done that.
He's gone from PlayStation to Xbox because the European scene on Xbox is just completely not there. It is by far the smallest player pool. So there was another two guys, though. Jose, who was the runner-up in the Tampa Bay Lightning esports event in Orlando that me and Grizz flew out, and we called that Jose actually beat Eki to go to the finals. Then he lost to Polk. So Jose also went from Xbox Series X down to Xbox One. And then another guy by the name of Duncan Demon, who is probably one of the bigger trolls and less like people in the community, which is deserved for the most part. He did the same thing. He went back down. So their teams are a lot worse than what they had, but they were like, hey, there is not much of a competitive player base here. We're going to, you know, take the odds. So these three guys, and again, no disrespect to the other players that are on Xbox One, these three, when you look at the people on that console, are really the three players that have a shot to go to Montreal. Like, yes, if you were to put betting odds, these are the three guys, and all they had to do was avoid each other. And we spent the beginning part of this podcast talking about how, you know, the top end players are like, hey, let's not match up early. I'm searching, don't search, or the stream sniping, or the reverse sniping on stream, all of that. And it makes sense for them because if they were to finish 1, 2, and 3 on the leaderboard, they would not play until the games to go to Montreal.
Exactly. And two of them would go, most likely. Right,
exactly. Yeah. So their odds would be at their high. And everyone in the competitive community knew this. When you saw who was going to be on the console, everyone understood, you know, that's what it looks like. And again, you can say, you know, they grooved it and that's crap, but it is what it is. That's the tournament's format. They were just like, okay, if this is going to be easier, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. So whatever you can do to get to Montreal. So Duncan Demon starts out 19-0. He's 19-0, and he is playing guys like, again, PS or Xbox One is just there is, on the old gen, there is no one competitively on there. Like, there's a lot, I'm sure there's a lot of good players, and it's not like if you play Xbox One, you're bad by any stretch of the imagination, but again, players that have a shot to win the GWC. He was 19-0, and he was just grinding out games in the first and second day, and there was really no one he could match up with, because Josh Fearless and Jose and even Dangs and Jaredubs were the other ones that, like, again, top end players or very, very good players, they just had to avoid each other, and that's what was happening. So Friday comes along, and Josh Fearless, who is easily one of the most entertaining guys on stream, like, he, whether you love him or hate him, you watch because he freaks out, you know, you like, I watch him more than any other streamer, and I don't watch a lot of streams because it's like going back to work, but I'll watch him because it's just, dude, it's just entertaining, and you live through it, because it's like, he will freak out like everybody wants to freak out when they lose a game or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, regardless if you would act like that, you stomp around, slam your controller, all that, you feel it. Like, you want to do that. So seeing him do it, there's like a, you know, like a, you know, you're living through that. And he goes, I'm going to play all 25 games on in one day. So he logs on at like noon on Friday, and he gets up to like 15-0. And I don't know what they were thinking. The problem with these three gentlemen is they all have very big egos, all of them. So Duncan Demon can't find a game, and he matches up with Josh. So he matches up with Josh. So now one of them is going to get an L and potentially ruin their record, right? Again, they should finish 1, 2, and 3. Easily they should. So Duncan Demon beats Josh. And if you've seen Josh Fearless streams, he does not handle losses well. And again, not many people do.
Oh, he does, he's not the worst. Handle losses. I think he's by far the worst person in the world at handling losses.
And again, when you're not used to losing, there's a, you know, when you're not used to losing, you don't usually lose gracefully.
We see Tom Brady just stomp off the field if he loses a game, because it never happens.
So after Josh loses, he's like, nah, I'm gonna get him back, like, F this kid. So Josh snipes him back and loses. So now Josh is like 15-2 and Duncan Demon's 21-0. And then you have Jose, who's just sitting back watching this, laughing while this is going on. So Jose then sees Duncan Demon snipe Josh the first time and goes, that's crap, dude. He snipes Duncan Demon, who's streaming, and gives him an L. So now Duncan Demon is 21-1, and Josh has two L's from Duncan Demon. And that, dude, and then insanity strikes, because Duncan Demon takes the L from Jose, and Josh is talking a lot of crap. Duncan Demon snipes Josh for a third time now. They have now sniped each other back and forth because they're both streaming while this is going on this whole day. Josh finally beats Duncan Demon. So now he's 21-2, and Josh is feeling good. Duncan Demon says, nah. Snipes him the very next game, gets him again. Duncan Demon loses. Now he's got three losses. So now he's 21-3 with a game to go. He decides that this can only be settled by a best of five between him and Josh. He snipes him a fifth time, and he loses again. So his last three games, or last five games, are Josh, Jose, and all these kids had to do was not play each other. Yep. Duncan Demon finished 21-4, which is mind-boggling. Actually, I think he might have finished 20-5.
Yeah, I think there was another loss in there.
Yeah, I think there was another loss. Yeah. I think he lost to Jose twice.
Okay.
And then what was even more insane is that because Jose had lost already, and he saw Josh beat Duncan Demon with a lot of points, and Jose also had a random disconnect, Jose is like, all right, the only way I can get number one is if I beat Josh and take all his points. Yep. So then the last game, Jose snipes Josh, and he loses. Like, the stupidity of that sequence competitively. Again, for anyone watching, it was one of the funniest things. I was literally sick as a dog laying on my couch. I was just laughing my ass off the whole time, because how this tournament was done, you can obviously groove, and all you have to do is avoid certain people. And it's not like it was a secret. Like, that's what was so crazy, is these three guys all knew. That's all they had to do. And because they've got such huge egos, they all just were like, nah. Like, one person beat one of them, and then the wheels just flew off. So now Duncan Demon's low in the rankings and might not even qualify week one. And if that's the case, they're going to have to play each other real early. And if Josh plays Duncan Demon, that is going to be the most watched, most entertaining series of the entire GWC up until potentially the finals.
I want to watch that. I will, dude. It's insane because it's Duncan Demon, I think, is a great kid whenever you talk to him.
And yeah, he's very nice.
He is. He has a great face, too. He looks like somebody you want to be friends with.
Yeah.
But he's the ultimate troll on this game. So, like,
he has to be hated.
Yeah. I need to see that game. And I hate to say it because I've been friends with Josh for 10 years. If Duncan wins that game, it would be the funniest reaction ever.
It would be an all-timer for sure. But after what happened and Duncan Demon sniping Josh four times, and he literally just had to be like, hey, I'm not gonna play Josh. But he was like, I want to beat him.
Why couldn't they just settle this with like a money game?
All they had to do is be like, okay, let's go play a money game for $50 and settle this. They were like, nope, we're going to settle a best of five in the GWC qualifiers.
Yeah, makes no sense.
It's going to be absolutely. And for anyone that doesn't follow, please go follow Josh Fearless if you haven't, or the Duncan Demon, because they will be streaming their GWC runs the rest of the way. And like I said, they're some of the more entertaining guys when they lose. And Josh in itself is a riot to watch at all times. Like it was one of the craziest things I've ever seen, my man. But all right. So enough of the competitive talk. Let's talk a little bit about we did get a new HUT event, and we're at the point where it's like, or we got HUT master players. And you said it best. They're 97 overalls. They're all great cards.
Yeah. So I'm done ranking them, by the way. I'm not going to do a ranking. Okay.
I did a ranking video and it was so hard to do it because they're all basically the same, right? Yeah. Like, so out of it though, we can discuss Taylor Hall, who should be made by everyone. Agree?
I think so. I think I'm going to have to make him too, right?
Like, he's 99 everything. He's always plays fast. He's 6'1". He's Connor McDavid. He's 6'1".
He's 6'1", 206. Yeah, 99 speed, 99 XL, 99 shooting, 99 hands with, he has 99 checking if you use Spark, right? Which you probably will use Spark because you need the XL at 99. So it's a 99 card, and that's where we are in HUT now.
Exactly. So, like, if you are trying to determine what to make, he is the only card I think is a must make in this event because Team of the Season is coming. If you're still interested in building your team, and maybe it's not for the GWC, if you're still interested in it, I would just say make Taylor Hall and save everything else for Team of the Season.
Yeah, because it's like, even if the Team of the Season cards will be way more expensive to make than these ones, but they're still just going to be 99 cards, right? So just make the Hall. Because
he is 99, whether he's 97 overall, but he's 99.
Yeah. I do think the Stefan Matteau card's interesting. He's fun. That's why, right? With a gold truculence, I think that's one of the better abilities. And it's like at this point in the year, if you're not playing for GWC, which 98% of players don't realistically have like a good chance, you want like the fun cards, right? So he has like that Crease Crasher ability, like Total Eclipse and stuff, like truculence. Like you kind of, it's a fun card to play with.
Have you used a forward with truculence, like gold truculence?
No, only silver.
I'm wondering, because like the one thing bad about truculence, I've heard Gren talk about this, is that he gets so many penalties. Because when you hit with a forward,
he gets a ton of penalties.
Yeah, like when you hit with a forward, you're often skating at top end or you're forechecking up against the boards. And, you know, with defensemen, they're usually coming into you and you're like meeting them in the boards. So it's not as like devastating. But if you have the puck into the and you're forechecking and you're going to hit somebody who has truculence, like you're breaking their back, essentially. So I've seen that be a downfall to truculence a little bit. But for anyone that uses it, let me know, because like, he does. He looks like, honestly, if you're going to make a card at any event for fun, they have to have truculence. Like, it's just fun.
I think a way that people don't use truculence enough, and because you mentioned the forward thing, there are a lot of forwards that have the silver ability. Skill zoning and having forwards with truculence is really good because you can just let the AI control the defenseman, and then you can bump players a lot more easier if your forwards have silver truculence. So like X Factor, Ovi is one of them. I don't know if anything exciting happened. It looks like
somehow. Sorry, I'm watching the Sharks game on my TV above my setup, and someone got on a breakaway for Phoenix and the breakaway got saved, but then Bonino went like shoulder post into the net and it just looked really ugly.
Bonino, remember that?
He did score in this game 10 seconds in, and now it's 1-1 because actually his head went off of it. He looks all right, but my goodness. Anyways, I agree. I think that like truculence is, it's a lot of people like, okay, well, you want to have it to get big hits. The real benefit from truculence is being able to is being able to bump people like extremely easy. I think that that's overlooked a lot. That's the where the real benefit, I think, comes in. Let's talk quickly about, you know, how long we had. We're only at 38 minutes, actually. So let's discuss some of the new things that they're trying, because they are trying, the Hut content team is trying some new things, specifically with the trade deadline cards and the Tuesday Tilt ones. So for anyone who doesn't know, the trade deadline cards, this event was really unique in not the master sets that came out, but the actual event cards that did. Because they did release a few, I think the Brad Richards, like 95 and whatnot. But since that first week, what they did was they released cards that had the potential to be traded. And if they got traded, they went up by +2 overall. And I thought that was a really cool feature and idea in this event. Do you agree?
I love it. Not that I'm going to use any of the cards, but it's something to tie into the real life sport, as we've always mentioned. And it's kind of, I think it's just a great thing. It's original. We haven't seen that before in Hut, as far as I know. So I love the addition a lot. I think it makes like, what's that?
The Claude Giroux was a 94. It's now a 96.
Yeah. So that's like really cool, almost card. Like an MSP player, right? The only disappointment I think in him is that he's had the All-Star game card, right? He had like a one or two cards, but, it's cool, right? So he goes 94 to 96. I did pull like a Raquel. Was that it? Is that one that had one?
Yeah.
I was hoping he would get traded. He hasn't been yet, right?
No, he is not.
Yeah. So
Lindholm, Hampus Lindholm did get moved too. So I think he goes from he's either a 93 or a 91. I don't remember. I don't have it up in front of me. But yeah, I think that's a really cool event. Tuesday Tilt has the potential to be like really fun. But man, again, so we talked when it first came out, the problem with it being on Tuesday is that no one opens packs on Tuesday. It's probably the most barren market day there is, because free packs are a day away. No one's ripping new packs. Tuesday is also the weakest content day. They just release prime times usually. Tuesdays and Thursdays are usually the worst for the week. So no one's ripping packs. So these cards are just not anywhere to be found. So for anyone that doesn't know what Tuesday Tilt cards are, it'd be like two cards going up in a specific matchup on Tuesday night in the real NHL. And it's like whoever scores more points or goals or assists, they would go up by +1. And then whatever one actually beat the other one in terms of like the team. So if Florida beat Calgary, let's say, the Florida card would get an extra synergy spot or an extra ability. And I thought that was really cool. So what they did this week was they actually made sets where you could turn in event collectibles, so trade deadline collectibles currently, and actually make one of them. The problem is that they cost 45. That's half of an MSP, and they were like 91s with the potential to go to 95, and it's like...
If the guy gets a hat trick, if the team wins, it's so unlikely.
Yeah, and like at that cost, it's like ridiculous. I think the one thing that I just can't understand is that prices in this game never scale. They scale upwards in terms of overall, meaning they become more expensive as the game goes along, but the interest in the game goes less and less. So it's like two systems are fighting each other.
Yeah.
And we're almost not rewarded for playing the game more longer into the year, because at this point, man, like every card that comes out should be a 90.
Yeah.
You know, the 85 overalls, I get that the reason why they're releasing them is fan service, because there's a lot of players that don't really care about what cards they use. They don't care about beating everyone online, and they just want to play squad battles with their favorite cards. But the problem is with squad battles, you're playing the guys that are grinding the game with 95 overall teams. So it's that the argument doesn't really work anymore. So I'm at a point now where like everything should be 90 overall. You hit March or maybe April. Let's say April, everything should be 90 overall, at least, you know, and I think that would be, I don't know. I would love to hear your comments down below. Maybe that's too high. Maybe it is a little high because I thought it was
perfect or even low.
I kind of think especially for
team of the week and stuff like that. Like nobody wants to see an 87 overall, like, you know, Anthony Duclair or something. If he gets like two goals and like nobody wants to see that, or Jacob Verana, whoever. Because you're not going to use these mid 80 overall players. The hardcore players aren't going to use them.
No, so exactly.
It's just pointless.
They're just set fodder, and it's like that's not exciting. So the one thing they did do is they moved away from team of the week, and they made this thing called like the theme team of the week. So, like, you know, one week it might be all guys that are gigantic with truculence or something. And I think that's cool because what was happening was these guys would all get prime times anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would get team of the week because they had a great week. And it's just like it's just double dipping and it just made no sense. So, you know, they are trying new things. I will give them that. I think the prime time and team of the week system is awful. It's just been it hasn't been changed in 5 years.
Yeah.
Which is an issue with NHL and as a whole.
Yeah. So hopefully I'm hoping they continue with this theme team of the week. Yeah. Or whatever it's called, into next year, and we just get rid of that performance-based team of the week.
I really want it's funny. One of my bigger things now, and again, I really got to preface this by saying my feedback is not being outwardly spoken to the Game Changer community as much as it was prior because, you know, of how things went down earlier. So I'm a lot more reserved now when it comes to my things that I'm telling EA that I think should be changed. Something that I'm focusing on this year is... or I'm going to, is that Hut Rush needs to be addressed because Hut Rush has the potential to be very fun, as it should. It also has guaranteed rewards, which is not available. It's instantaneous guaranteed rewards, which, you know, is nowhere else in this game. And I cannot stand what the cookie cutter Hut Rush is because it should not be very difficult to implement my opinions or thoughts on it. And I've talked about this quite a bit on stream and in videos, and I haven't seen any negative feedback to this. So my thought is, for Hut Rush going into next year, what I want is completely get away from the real thing. So play in the outdoor rink, play 3-on-3, play, you know, first goal wins, sure. Or what I want to see is give us a draft. Everyone is 6-6 with truculence. Whoever gets the most hits wins.
Mm-hmm.
Like those kinds of things, because Hut Rush should be this arcadey, dumb, fun, get away from the grind because we're not getting anything different than Rivals and Hut Champs. So like, I don't want to sweat. I want to play Hut Rush. And it's like, whoever gets the most hits, that's hilarious. Or maybe you give international ice and it's all guys under 6 foot that have wheels and 90 speed.
Yeah.
Like at launch of the game. Like, and then it's just end to end. Like you're just flying. Like, I want to see that kind of stuff. I would love to see one where your player locked as a goalie. Like, you know what I mean? Like just dumb stuff like that. And then have the rewards. You know, you have the option to give a guaranteed card. And, you know, they give collectibles. They give 2 gold player plus packs, you know, power-up collectibles, all that kind of crap. But if it's like a truculence event at the end, give us an 87 Chris Pronger. You know, that has special card art or something, you know, that matters. Because you plan out Hut Rush months in advance in terms of like what, because they just hit go on it.
Dude, here's the thing. They could plan it out for the year, right?
Yeah.
To scale with whatever. So now in this time frame, you can't give out a card that's like 97 overall. But you can give it a fun like 92 overall card at the end of Hut Rush.
I think what, no matter what, if they can't implement all of that, you know, what I think needs to happen. So there's two game modes of Hut Rush every time there's a new Hut Rush thing, right? And it usually comes out every new event. For the love of God, give us a 5-on-5. Let's say it's 1 period max, right? And it's just whoever wins, but it's only 1 period games. And all of it is all of the new Master Set players.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no loan cards. And I get that loan cards, I didn't realize how much I missed loan cards. But if it costs so much to upgrade these things, like, you know, let us try them out and let us see what it's like. And I think that would go a long way. If you're not going to implement anything creative in Hut Rush, at least give us that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it should be like, you know, 1 period, 5-on-5. And then it's just like the whole line, like just no line changes, just one line. You have all the MSPs or whatever. And if there's only like 4 MSPs, maybe just fill it in with 2 event cards. But I do want, like, because there's so many MSPs that come out that I want to try. But I can't justify spending $500-600K to buy the card, or you don't want to make it untradeable and then lose out on a few hundred thousand if you downgrade it.
I did it with Kane because I wanted to make a video of using Patrick Kane because it looked like fun. Like I just wanted to try out that card, and he wasn't because I play Division One, and you really can't use those kinds of cards in Division One, which is a whole other problem. Mm-hmm. And now I have this untradeable Kane that it spent $400K to make because there was no way for me to try him out, and it just kind of sucks. But while we're wrapping up this episode, we got about 15 minutes left. You're at the next stage of the GWC now. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
What is your mindset now over the next 2 weeks and maybe for the rest of the year up until the draft?
Up until the draft, play like 4 to 5 best of threes against some of the best players each week.
No rivals.
I do need rivals for the cards a little bit, right? So it kind of, so that the rosters aren't locked. I actually wouldn't have mind seeing rosters locked by now, so I didn't have to worry about playing like champs and rivals. So I'm going to continue to play rivals and champs, I think, not as much as I did before. Maybe just like 1 to 5 rivals games a week, right? Just to get the silver or gold or whatever it is. And then just focus on playing like a close knit group of people. So I'll probably reach out to like Miso Trippy, Saphir, Gren, some of the guys like that. Find like 5 people I want to consistently play best of threes against. Space it out a little bit too. Like I don't want to play Saphir in a best of three, you know, like 5 nights in a row. That's just the law of diminishing returns. Like we get used to each other. That doesn't really help. So it's mostly just that, and that I did the same thing last year and it helped me out a lot. And I think just playing less too.
Like which whatever, is crazy. Yeah. You'd think that like, you know, that's why I wanted to ask you that, is because you think that like just like how it would normally go is that you just want to be grinding the game at all points now, but you have to play peer to peer.
Yeah. And so I think another added thing too, like the importance of playing like just like some hot champs and rivals games each week is that whenever you only play like, you know, the top players, your play style is tuned to that, right? So I can go in and I can have a great game and beat them half the time. And then you play somebody that's like a solid player that's not a top player, and the play style is so different that you kind of don't know what to do and you screw yourself in the end. I did that in years past. I think that hurt me before. So just make sure, you know, whenever I play too, like I'm just concentrating completely and giving it my all just to try to stay sharp.
No, absolutely. I think, it's crazy to hear that, like, kind of thing. Because, you got to be careful, because if you play down to your opponents and then you go into the biggies, you know, it is very tough in terms of, like, you know, that level kind of kicks way up. And what's interesting is that because rosters don't lock, April 9th and 10th is when the next round of the GWC will take place. Mm-hmm. So that's when you'll play the rounds number 1 and 2, which means the first round will be the club finals to find out what player will represent each club in the NHL on each console. And then the next round is the round of 32. So we'll get down to 16. The next weekend that runs for PS4 and PS5, I think PS4 and Xbox One, it's on April 9th and 10th. But I think the next week is the next gen consoles. So it's later on. Team of the season is going to come out right in the middle of like the last round. And that just throws a whole other thing in, because that's when you could literally have a team of full 99s almost.
Yeah, I'm worried about that, because it's just like you have to change your team up a little bit just to stay competitive with some of the other top players. Not that if you don't improve your team during team of the season, it's not that big of a deal, just because most of the cards now are like 99. But you still don't want to run into the situation where it's like you lose a game because your fourth line has like a 91 overall on it or something and the other team's fully 99.
Exactly.
So I am a little annoyed, honestly. I still have to like keep upgrading my team, but it is what it is.
No, for sure.
Yeah. Did you want to talk about the shootout challenge this weekend, huh?
Yeah, actually, yeah. So my esports org, Lazarus, I'm a part of, I'm a creator for them. They partnered with Chevrolet and the Chevrolet Good Deeds Cup. If you're from Canada, you know what this event is. It happens every year. Essentially, they promote youth hockey teams coming together and doing something good for the community. And whoever wins the Good Deeds Cup by doing the best thing for their community, they'll get $100,000 to a charity of their choice. It's a great event put on by Chevrolet, and it's all over CBC, and it's promoted nationally. So they actually wanted to, they got together and did some sponsored events for esports. They wanted to get into esports, and Lazarus, my org, pretty much has every single, well, they have regs, you know, and then myself, Henrique, a lot of the more known names in NHL kind of locked up. No other org is really involved in NHL, and I understand why. You know, mm-hmm. it's not huge when it comes to that kind of stuff. The owner of Lazarus came up with an idea and came to me and asked, you know, should we try a shootout mode and for an event? And at face value, a lot of, for you know, we'll take 16 players and have them compete in this. And he was like, how would a shootout mode work? And I was like, what if? And he was like, you know, what if we graded them on the goals that they scored? And I was like, what if we do it offline and they play rookie mode goalie so that they're not, you know, playing against other players? And because then it becomes like the meta when how to score. Yeah. Right? You can't do insane stuff when players are in net. So that was risky, but this weekend we ran it. You took part in it, and it was, I have to say, of all the esports events I've done, and there's a $5,000 prize pool.
Yeah.
We had celebrity judges. We had Pavel Barber on Saturday, and we had Tyler McGregor, who is the captain of Team Canada's sledge hockey team, who just finished silver in the Olympics. He was the other judge, celebrity judge, and we basically had 16 guys and girls try and give out their best shots and most creative goals, and they had 5 attempts offline against a rookie goalie, and it was a blast. It was just fun.
Dude, it was one of the most fun events I've ever been a part of in NHL, because it's like you can run an event, right, in this community. You can invite those same people. It could be a versus event. It'll be the same sweaty event that you always get with the same 3 or 4 people winning. Yep. This one, there's creativity, right? So you can do anything in the game, right? But you can also use props or whatever outside of the game. So me, yep, and like a few others did the blindfolded attempts, you know, a couple Michigan attempts, stuff like that. You saw people holding their controller upside down. Yeah. So this weekend was like the qualifier round. There were 16 people. 8 moved on. I was lucky enough to move on next week. So I think now that we got like the first weekend out of the way and people kind of see what to do, you might see some crazy stuff next weekend. Like, I'm really excited, actually.
So guys, that event is actually happening next Saturday. I will be away on vacation. I did not, my wife kind of surprised me with my trip, so unfortunately I didn't have a say in when it was. So I was the co-host this weekend. I will not be. My man Tugi is filling in, joined by Grizz, as well as some huge guest judges, bro. Did you see the other guests?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Sarah Nurse. There's Sarah Nurse from the Canadian team, from Team Canada. And then we've got Arto O'Cal, the voice of the GWC. And I believe
Steve Dangle.
Steve,
right?
Dangle. Yeah. It's just going to be fun. I know some things that you're going to try, and I'm not going to tell anyone what they are.
I got some tricks up my sleeve. Yeah. But I'm excited to see the other people. What are they going to do? You know,
I don't know, because it's for quite a bit of money. You know, like, that's what it's the perfect mix of being for a really good cause. It's just stupidly fun, but it's also low key for money. So it keeps the players trying.
Yes.
Like, you're actively like, okay. And the way you win is not by scoring the most goals or being the sweatiest. It's like, let's do the dumbest thing possible to impress the judges.
Yep.
And it just turned out really, really well. I'm not going to lie, I was skeptical, but it turned out way above my expectations, and I'm glad that Charlie, the owner of Lazarus, came up with the idea. I'm glad I got to help with it. And Grizz was a phenomenal behind the scenes and leading the event, and it just came together really well. So I'm excited to see how I'm gonna be watching from the Dominican. I will low key be on the beach maybe with the MacBook, just sitting there watching. So
yeah, and that'll be on twitch.tv/Lazarus, LAZARUS, yes, too. Just because I think it's fun to watch. I did yesterday's qualifier, and then today's, I found myself watching most of it just because it's like funny, you know?
Yeah. And I think it was at the perfect time. Everyone's sweating for GWC, mm-hmm, and all these people were just like, this is just like stupid fun.
Dude, I was practicing for this thing. So Saturday morning, right, I was streaming GWC games, and then I was like, okay, I got this thing in an hour, like, I better practice. So I had my stream on, because we had to have our stream on, because you guys would click in, watch our attempts. And I had my blindfold on, and I would like take the shot, you know, see what happens. And people were coming into my stream, they're like, what the hell are you doing? What is going on?
It's you trying to learn a new goal by memory for GWC. It's like, if I can do this blindfolded, I can do this in game.
Exactly. So it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
That's gonna be a blast. Yo, let me ask you this. This just came to my head because I want to talk about, like, it's kind of a big part in my life and my business going on right now. So when GWC ends, you've done a great job being a content creator this year. You've done really well on YouTube. At finally, you listened to me to start putting out YouTube videos. And you really blew up. And then we created this, like, this is probably my proudest thing I've done in the last couple of years, is our podcast, because it's just, everyone seems to enjoy it. You love listening to us talk, which I, you know, appreciate. You know, we're just two bumbling idiots who are obsessed with this game that we probably shouldn't be. And we get to just talk all day, you know, or every once a week about the game. So give me your thoughts. Like, what are you going to do after GWC content?
Dude, I don't know. I don't know. And that's the scary thing because it's after GWC, it's not like it's 2 months. It's not like it's the summer. It's 6 months between that and when the next game comes out. So I think it's more just like the social aspect I want to focus on. I'm not sure what I'm going to do on YouTube. I was actually
YouTube is hard. That's the hard one.
So
yeah.
I might go back to some old games. I had this idea for a video to show like glitch goals in the NHL series throughout the years.
Dude, that's so good. Yeah. I hate when you come up with good ideas.
Yeah, so sorry. Like, so if you want to do like a collab on that or something, that'd be fun.
I would love to.
Because like I have these, dude, they're all up here. I remember everyone from like the past 14 years. So that's one. Maybe just more talking about the game itself. I do want to like this podcast. There's a lot of guests I want to have on to talk to with you.
I agree. I think that that's what we're going to do, guys, because obviously, even right now, we barely talked about Hutt in itself. We talked mostly about the GWC, and that's just because Kessel is very involved. I'm really involved, and it's kind of the biggest thing going on in NHL, and it's probably going to dominate the next couple weeks of podcast because this event is kind of why a lot of people play Hutt.
Yeah.
But we're going to fade away from talking about Hutt because talking about what cards we think are good, it's not there. So we're going to probably spend a lot of time on our ideas to fix the game, probably. But we want to start bringing on guests to do like 20-minute interviews, not the whole hour, but maybe pre-record like a 20-minute thing that we throw in at the end of each podcast, I think. In terms of, I know Nasher wants to. I know our man Daddy Padre is dying to get on here.
Old Man There's Gaming is dying too. Okay, maybe literally. Gaming. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Old Man. He's the nicest guy.
Dude, if you haven't seen Old Man Gaming, I think it's Old Man Gaming 55.
It is.
He came into my chat about, I would say, a month ago. And I do these community pack openings every Wednesday. If you haven't been a part of them, basically I'll stream everyone's packs. We basically just have a list and we start streaming on my channel everyone's packs. And Old Man Gaming signs up for one, and it is a great username because he is a grandpa. He is an old man, and he's not bad at Hutt, and he has an unbelievable team.
Dude,
I watched
like 5 minutes of his gameplay the one day, and I was like, he's actually like kind of good.
Yeah, like it's not bad.
I didn't even expect him, like I didn't expect to see like anything besides like passing and like maybe
passing.
Point shots.
Or
and
flicking
hit,
up.
Yeah, and he hit this guy with like a nice cross crease. I was like, what? That's the most impressive thing I think seen in this game all year.
And he streams dead on in the morning, like 8 a.m. guys. If you are at work and you don't have any, throw on Twitch, go look at the directory. I think it's Old Man Gaming 55. You will not be disappointed. It's hilarious. And he's just a funny guy, dude. I think I found a clip. Oh my God. It was like, are you Clappy's dad? And he starts laughing. He's like, I'm not his dad, but I love to kick his ass.
Yeah.
I was just out.
Oh my God. I couldn't believe we were talking about that the one day.
I couldn't believe it. And he's just this old man. Like it's honestly hilarious, but it gets scary. So I like peeling back the curtain about, you know, the business aspect of what I do. Last year, so YouTube it's gone very well for me the last two video games, and we're really lucky that every year we get a spike because the game comes out, and that's a huge bump. Because if you stream like Destiny or make it, you know, you're 3 or 4 years between, you know, games, right? So it's very difficult. Like it's very difficult because interest dies. Whereas in sports games, you're guaranteed this epic peak. That's huge. Everything's flying. The dopamine every day is incredible because the Twitch numbers are awesome. The YouTube numbers are awesome. TikToks, all that. But then, man, the downfall, it's real low because you just stream NHL, and my YouTube channel was dedicated basically mostly or all to NHL. And YouTube is the most important platform to create, to grow. If you want to be a streamer on Twitch, you need YouTube more than you need Twitch, which sounds ass backwards, but it's not. So I started making MLB videos last year, and some of them did really well, but there was also some things where I was doing like daily, whatever, the new cards that come out, even though they're not very good, that would normally do very well in NHL, did not do well in MLB. And so it was a learning experience, and I spent about 1,000 hours playing MLB last year just to really learn the game, really understand the game and the creators that you're going up against as a creator. And by going up against, I mean you're essentially fighting for everyone's attention. But the creators in MLB are incredible. Not that the NHL one doesn't have some awesome ones, like Thrash and Enrique. All those guys do great jobs with creative content. The MLB scene is just, it's a whole other animal. And I'm really excited because I've realized that for me, I want my silver play button. It's the next thing.
Is that 100K?
That's 100K. And okay. I've come to the realization that I just will not get it. I'll get it eventually if I stay in NHL. But it'll take me 5 more years, probably.
Yeah.
There'll never be that peak of where like, oh, I'm at like, I get like 10,000 in a month and it's like bang, right? Because when you get close to 100, when you from like 70 to 100, it usually happens like that. In the NHL community, it's so small that almost anyone who watches YouTube for NHL has seen a video of mine and or subscribed, or they've seen a video of mine over the last few years. And I just, it's going to take me so long. The guys like Thrash, or sorry, Tactics, Nasher, Bacon Country, the guys in the past that have hit 100K, like you look at Tactics, for example, he hasn't grown all that much since he hit 100K because he's really reached the peak. And I've realized the only way I'm going to be able to hit 100 is with MLB. And I'm not talking about disowning NHL, but going 80% MLB in the summer, 20% NHL, because that'll never go away on my channel. And then my Twitch streams, again, same kind of ratio to it. I'm going to go, you know, stream MLB every day, except for about 4 p.m. I'll hop over for the new content up till 5, watch the new content for NHL. And then on the weekend, I'll do Hut Champs every weekend.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's going to be MLB. I'm kicking things off with an uncapped subathon. And if you don't know what an uncapped subathon or a subathon is, it's every time someone subs or gifts a subscription on Twitch, it adds time to a clock, and you don't end the stream until the clock hits zero. I did one at the launch of NHL. I made it capped at 72 hours. I thought that was absurd, and I would never get there. There are some people in the community that showed up for that event that I've never seen that level of generosity, and I hit 72 hours. I slept on stream. You know, I ate on stream. I watched real hockey because I was just like, you know, like 2 days in, I'm like, yeah, I'm doing an uncapped one for MLB. So it could be 7 days. It could be 10 days. I will not end my stream. It could be 7 hours.
People could just hate you now.
It could be 7 hours. True. I mean, yeah, after last one, I could just end immediately. Yeah. But it's happening April 1st, and I come back from my vacation on the 29th. So it kind of works out perfectly. I'm getting this nice little break before him, but that's what you should expect, at least on YouTube and Twitch. And I really want you to get into MLB because you love the like the mechanical portion of it, and that's all MLB is.
There's an idea. It's not really an idea, but whenever you're doing this uncapped subathon, we might have to do a live recording of our coffee and chill if it's going on.
Yes, we will be. We will have to. If it lasts long enough, we will have to.
That'd be kind of fun.
I think a live one, it'd be interesting to see. You know, we could use chat and everything like that.
Yeah, that would be fun. Cause like, I think it's like, dude, I'm not that I'm scared for the summer. Cause like in my personal life, I'm really looking forward to it, but it's like, you've asked like, what do you do now? And it's like, you know, I'm probably not going to be playing NHL, you know? So like, I really just have to focus on other things. And even if I'm not streaming or whatever, you know, focusing, like I have so much fun sleeves, making a stupid meme and just tweeting it out. Same. And it's like, I was talking to somebody, I was talking to Saphir last night at like 3 a.m, and he was asking me questions about stuff. Because like, I think this year he made a comment to me and he's like, you know, like about growth or whatever for me this year. And he's like, it's almost like I'm a completely different person. Like I'm actually funny now. And I was like, I've always been funny, but I think now I'm like more comfortable on camera and just talking and doing whatever and being myself. But I told him, I was like, I would love to try like social media management for like content creators at some point. Cause I think this might be me having an ego here. Some of the stuff I tweet and the memes are really funny that if like, you know, I can't think of anybody's name off the top of my head, but if some people incorporated these, I think their like Twitter follow. Yeah. Like if Polks used me, give me $100 a month. I'll send you some stupid memes and your Twitter followers will go up by like 10%, 20%.
I think like I honestly think that if you stuck with it, like if we were to go back 5 years and you started, you would have been bigger than me. We're really very similar, even what your videos are posting. Like, I think that maybe I have a little bit louder personality.
You do. But I don't agree in the sense that like I think everything happens when it's supposed to. Right. True. So like if I transport myself back 5 years, it's like you grow as a person over the years. Right. And you change a little bit. So it's like if it was ever going to happen or, you know, me doing this thing, it's like working out now because it's like, you know, there's just like confidence. You get more confidence. You get older. You know, you're just things change. Right.
Also, you know, like if it doesn't pan out, it's not like you don't have like a very good job and like all that.
Yeah. And I think that comfort level is there, too. Like tomorrow, if all this like just goes down the hill, like down the drain, and like EA Sports Canada's like, yeah, we're not making the game anymore. I'm like, all right, guys, it's been a good run.
It's been a good two decades. I'll see you next time. See you on the other side.
Could you imagine if that happened? Like how many people we interact with all the time that we would just never talk to again?
Dude, be like, you know what's funny? When you leave a job you've been at for like 5 years, and wait, dude, I immediately just started remembering one of my best buddy, Evan. I'm going to go text him tonight because It's so funny. When you work at an office or a job where you're around the same people, you are with those people more than anyone else, probably more than your significant other. And when it's so sad, I left my job and I had two people that I would spend every day with, and I no longer talk to them. And that's what it would be like. It would just fade away. It's like graduating college or high school. Like it's you might have one or two, and then that's it. Like, that is sad to think about, because this game as a whole, as much as we complain about it, like, me and you are literally talking, doing this right now because we played NHL.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's what I mean? Like, so, well, sometimes with those jobs too, sometimes it's a sadder thing. It's like, I had this really good friend named Ryan at one of my first jobs out of college. We'd go to lunch every day. Mm-hmm. Like, he played video games. Like, we both like were in the same thing. And it's like, we talked every day. Right. And it's like, after that, got a new job. We would text every few months. Now I haven't talked to them in like 2 years, right? But it's like, you realize, like, oh, this person's in my life every day. I'm okay with them not being in my life every day. Like, that's like the sadder thing.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And for anyone that's like 23 right now, just realize that. Appreciate the friendships right now, because you'll get a new job, they'll get a new job, and more than likely, what is the odds on that? Changing jobs, your work best friend, or your work wife or work husband, you know, like, that's a term, right? Like, everyone had one, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Just, like, I would say it's less than 5% you carry with them throughout the rest of your, or into the next job.
I've had so many friends at work, right? And I can't really think of any off the top of my head.
Wedding party, were there any you met through work?
No, it was college.
I had one. And he is one of my best friends now. He was actually my boss. He was very young. When I worked for Apple, he was actually like my boss. And then my best friend, Kyle, who has been my number one since high school, like early high school, grade 9. I got him a job at Apple too. And they became kind of buddies. And then the three of us, like, we all have matching tattoos we got as like our first, kind of dumb, but like our first house we got together was like the craziest year of our life. Is before my wife, and my wife and me actually lived there, and we did like a lot of growing. There's usually one year in your life where you either your life grows like immensely, and like it ramps way up, and we all got the address tatted on us somewhere. So just like, you know what I mean, to never forget it, right? And I met him at work, but other than that, man, like, I mean, I met my wife at work.
Oh,
I would say
your
significant other you meet at work. I would say after about 25, like if you do not have, like, we should have started this at the beginning, because like, we can talk about this forever.
Yeah.
But the sad part is because, dude, COVID, I feel bad for the people that at COVID now their jobs are like work from home and stuff, because finding a significant other has got to be, once you get out of college and university and you get your real first job, if you do not have someone, the odds of meeting someone that is not someone you work with goes way down, because it's the same thing. You will work with these people every day. Mm-hmm. There's no way that you don't develop some sort of feelings, whether it's, you know, you interest or not, or just, you know, you care for them.
Yeah.
It's impossible not to, because you're a human being. You're around the same person over and over and over again. So like, man, I think that after like 25, like if you're out of university, like you're going to meet your person you work with.
Yeah, usually, I think, for the most part. In most situations, I feel like, right? Now, things have changed with, like, the dating apps, right? Like,
I think it's much more casual. Like, back in, I remember Tinder came out right before I met my wife, and I maybe experienced it for, like, 3 months before it was like, hey, I got to delete this because I'm in a relationship now.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was, like, weird. You know, because if you're on this app, you are looking, you are for one thing. It's a dating app that is like you're not looking for a relationship or a real one. Right.
Yeah. And because there's other ones, right? There's like the bump, like, or
there's plenty, like, there's like Bumble and stuff exactly.
Yeah. Which is like, I think more towards like the relationship side, maybe. I don't know, because I've been with my wife like over 10 years.
I've
now,
never
so,
been
like,
on
I never,
them before either.
Yeah.
But one of my like closer friends, they actually met on Plenty of Fish.
Okay.
And like that's like a big one in Canada, and they could have been on a commercial because they're both extremely good looking. Like they just look like the picture commercial couple.
Yeah.
And they met on this dating app, and it's really like they're married. They have a great life and a really nice kid together. They just bought a new house. Like it's crazy. But yeah, like nowadays, like, dude, like my wife works from home, right? Like I pretend if my wife wasn't married, and I'm just thinking like, how would you meet someone?
Well, how would you, dude? How would you,
dude? I would be toast.
Dude,
right?
You'd be
like,
it's you only talk to dudes on your NHL Twitch chat, right?
Yeah.
So it's like you'd have to find like a mutual friend through somebody that you know.
I'd be honest, it'd probably be like at an event.
Yeah.
If I did broadcasting for like esports events that were like, you know, like I don't know. I'd be in the same boat.
It's like I'm at work from home. Like I did, like
it would have to be an app.
It would have to be. And I'd be screwed. I'm 5'8". So it's like I'm automatically filtered.
I'm 5'9", so it ain't much better. I'm filtered
out of whatever thing. Because I saw this graph and it was like 90% of women are looking for like 5% of men. And it's like the settings, the filters they have, it's like, you know, like me and you are just out of the filter. Like we're too short, right? It's like 6 foot and above. And it's like we'd be screwed.
We have to utilize our personalities, which I think is what we had to do to land our.
That's the only thing we have going for us. It's not.
Yeah, exactly. We tricked our wives. We had to swindle them with a hilarious personality.
With a joke or something. That's about it.
Dude, what's wild is that like I experienced, like I feel like every guy, or for the most part, you go on like a health kick at some point in your life. Or I think that if you have if you have a job or a career, I think maybe it happens less because you're married to that, like. You know, you put all your effort, like what you did, like you put all your effort into your career.
Yeah.
Right. Like even right now, you're like, you're going to get your master's and whatnot. I've always been pretty, like, ever since I was like 20, throughout high school, I was like very average. Like I was not strong. I wasn't like heavy or anything like that. And then like, after you get to high school, like as you get older as a guy, like your metabolism just like if you see the freshman 40 pretty quick.
Dude, my first
second
year
beer
of college,
hits, bro. Dude, second beer hits.
My first year of college, I went in at like 160, like a very healthy weight. Like I was like, you know, just look like not skinny, but like just a regular size. And then, you know, it was like you can go to the cafeteria, you can eat whatever you want. Right. And then so like I would have like two chicken patties and stuff. And then we would go like all my friends and I would like we'd go out at like 11 p.m. We'd get a burrito at night from Qdoba. Dude, yep. I put on like 35 pounds that first year.
It happened so fast because of the drinking.
It's overnight too. And I remember like my sophomore year, I remember looking at a picture that my wife, then girlfriend, took of me. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, what in the world? Like, look at me. That's disgusting. What's wrong? So I ended up losing like 20 or 30 pounds like that next year. And then like just slowly like putting it on, but not to the point that I ever got back to what that was freshman year. But dude, that freshman, it's called the freshman 15. It's the freshman 40. I'm sorry if you have no self-control. Yeah.
Exactly, man. Like, so like that slowly started to happen. I went through a really bad breakup like when I was 20 and I like ballooned. And I remember my buddy, my group of friends were all like pretty athletic, big guys. And I was just able to hang around the group long enough because I was pretty witty and I didn't care about talking to girls and I didn't have to be jacked or whatever. And my buddy, I talked to my buddy long enough and he literally showed up at my house 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And this is like when I would sleep till 5 or whatever because like I would just game all night. This is right after college. He literally would just lay on his horn and I was living at my old man's house. And my old man is like, big Dave No Sleeves, the big angry dude when someone disturbs him. And my buddy Cody literally got in my driveway 4 p.m. and just, and like wouldn't stop until I came out of the house. He did this for like 3 straight weeks until I started enjoying the gym and I just would go on my own. Yeah. And that's really for like 4 or 5 years. I just did that like kind of off and on. I liked the gym. Then I met my wife. I was in pretty decent shape. And then I don't know what it was. I became like, the best I've ever been in my life was just a level of fitness that I don't think I'll ever be able to achieve again. Right before my wedding, I went from 216 the day I started content creation. I'm only 5'9". I was 216, 5'9" on January 1st, 2017. My wedding day, the day before my wedding, I literally went and trained CrossFit in the morning because I was this obsessed while all my family was coming in. And I was like, no, I got to go. I got 6 a.m. Got to hit the gym. This is what it was like. I'm like, I got to hit my macros. I'm not having it in the dinner beforehand. So I literally weighed myself that morning and I was 149. So in the span of like 16 months, I went from 216 to 149. I had finally gotten under 10% body fat. I went on my honeymoon and then I really got into CrossFit, which for anyone that is listening that's interested in fitness, do not do CrossFit. It is meant for athletes. It is not something that I would recommend the average gym goer ever do. I think it is the most insane and greatest workouts I've ever had, but it also led to me getting patella tendonitis because I'm not an athlete and I ruined my knee to the point where I needed surgery. And then I hurt my shoulder, but I was just so focused. And I did so ass backwards. Mm-hmm. I was literally, engaged and married, got to my peak shape. And my wife doesn't give a shit because I'm already married to her.
Yeah, so she loves you. You looked like how you looked whenever you
met
her,
right?
And
she would get so annoyed that, like, I was, like, trying to get down and lose all this weight. And I remember having an argument with her. Like, I did this. Like, don't you want to be with someone who's better looking? And she's like, no, I don't give a shit what you look like. And I'm like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
So, like, the last 2 years, I've just not cared. And then eventually I've now given myself, like, a health problem.
Yeah.
And it's – I think it's worse – for someone, this is weird. I've been thinking about this a lot, and we're going way over. So, I mean, we probably lost a lot of people, but maybe not. Let us
maybe
know if you're still here.
People.
Let us know. You're the real one. I want you to type I'm jacked as your comment, all right? I want you to say I'm jacked in the chat or in the comment section if you're still here. But it's funny because I know now that I need to lose about 20, 30 pounds, which is not insignificant. I'm like 206 right now, and I literally have a liver problem because of it, and I have to get back down. But it's funny, for someone that has never lost weight, I could empathize with them being like, you have no confidence that you could ever do it. I at least have confidence that I know that if I do X, I will get down to this. But when I start going back to the gym every time now, I'm like, I've got a year and a half of just hell that I put myself through. And I threw it all away for nothing. And I'm like, dude, I go a week in and I'm like, oh my God, dude, like, I don't know if it's harder because I know what I have to do, or if it's easier because I know that no matter what, I have the willpower somewhere in me that something will click again. But it's going to be an experience because now I literally have to. My health has to improve.
I'm such a nerd, and I know we've talked about Star Wars, but what you just said reminded me of the Kylo Ren, where it's like, I know what I have to do, but I don't know if I have the strength to do it. Whenever he kills his dad. Do you remember that scene?
Yes, dude.
And it's such a great quote. Like,
it is a very good quote, man. And like, it is, man. And yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. I know that I'm going to go on this vacation. It's going to get even worse because I'm going to relax. I'm going to read on the beach and just drink and eat the worst food possible. And then I come back and I'm going to be on stream for potentially 20 straight days. So I don't know if it's going to get any better then either. But after that, I will be excessively getting back into the stuff that I was doing before, but I'm excited a little bit because I feel like in life, to really significantly change your life in terms of health, it takes one of three things: death, whether it be, you know, a close family member or someone that you really care about, health would be another one, or a breakup. And I'm knock on wood, not going to have a breakup, and knock on wood, I'm not going to have death. Because, you know, because you can't drastically change your life. Drastically change, it'd be like if you're always paycheck to paycheck, same kind of thing. Like, if you want to, you're changing all of your habits.
Yeah.
And that is a very bad shock. The human brain wants to stay the same. It will do everything in its power to keep you as negative. Even if you want to change for good, the human subconscious will kick in. It will make all of your senses fire to try and get you to counteract what you're doing, because it's a protection thing. You know right now, hey, you're alive. The brain is doing what it needs to do to keep you alive right now. Why are we doing the Stairmaster, bro? Let's relax, dude. We're completely okay with just sitting in your chair playing video games. Why are we going for this run? Let's dial this back. So it'll heighten your sense. Like, you'll be walking past a McDonald's and be like, oh my God, I really want fries. Like, it's
dude,
so
that is
crazy.
Me every single time. I think it's just like, and I always talk about luck and stuff, right? I think a lot of it's just how you grew up too. Because like there's whenever I was growing up, right, in my house, I never drank water. My grandparents always had like Pepsi or Coke in the house. And it was like just what you drank, because that's how they grew up in like the 50s and stuff, right? So it's like, because that's how I ate for my whole entire life. Whenever I got to college, it was like, yeah, I'll just have a Pepsi with every single meal. And it wasn't until like after that first year, like I had to teach myself as an adult healthy eating habits, which I clearly don't follow, but like I still follow a lot better than I did before.
You need to be aware of them.
Yeah, you do. But some people never get that chance though, you know, like, and it's just like luck of the draw, genetics, life, whatever.
This is going to sound ridiculous. Same boat. I hate water. Even like I gave up drinking from 2017 all the way past my wedding. I drank on my wedding day. So 16 months, I went no alcohol, not because I'm an alcoholic or anything like that, but because I wanted to develop the willpower. And I was like, if I'm going to go all in and be in fitness, the first thing that's got to go is liquid calories. So I'm not going to drink. And when I was a kid, same situation. I hate water. I don't like it. I usually have to put like sugar-free or zero calorie Mio or BCAA, something, just to get a taste in there. But when I was growing up, same situation. My parents always had pop on hand. And for whatever reason, I know I'm going to get people in the chat that are gonna be like, the aspartame. I only like Diet Coke.
I'm at the same point now. Yeah.
If I honest to God think I used to drink it all the time and like two or three a day. And I think back now knowing like what I know about health, the health and fitness industry, like if it was Coca-Cola and like actual sugary pop, like I would have been in high school, I would have been really fat. Like it would have happened way earlier. And even to this day. And, you know, aspartame obviously is not very great, but there is a lot worse things that you could do. And I honestly think the calories that you were taking in, as opposed to what you were taking in with aspartame, is not even close to the same trade off. And again, I'm sure I'll get some negative comments about that. That's fine. But I would much rather have that. And it's crazy because there's something called, I believe it's called sucralose, and it's like fake artificial sugar. So this happens in like stevia and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The problem, the only downfall, it's zero calorie sugar, which is what you should be drinking as opposed to anything that has sugar in it. Calories is always going to be the most important for your health for the most part. What's crazy is what it does is it makes you addicted to artificial sugar. So because I like Diet Coke, I always like Diet Pops across the board. I hate the taste of Coca-Cola or Pepsi. Anything that has a lot of sugar in it, I can't stand. It makes me feel like I'm losing my teeth. It's so weird. Yeah. Like I hate the taste of it. But anything diet, like I love. And even in my coffee, if there's days where I'll put, you know, like that kind of artificial sugar into it, I'll crave more coffee. Okay. It's very weird, and it's something to pay attention to, guys, for anyone that's the reason why. If you start drinking pop again, like even like I didn't drink pop at all for a very long time because I was so healthy. But then I started drinking pop a little bit again, and then I became the want of it exploded again because of that artificial sugar. And again, it's far more healthy than the alternative, but just something to pay attention to.
Yeah.
We went way off the rails there.
We did. I enjoyed the talk. I loved it. My wife's probably wondering why I'm in here for 2 hours. So
We got to take off. I feel you. I'm going to the Dominican soon, so yeah. I got to go pack and all that stuff. But yeah. All right, guys, that is going to do it for episode 25 of Coffee and Chill. I can't wait to see how many people actually listen to this whole thing because it goes way off the rails in like an hour.
But I think that was actually a good example of how we usually talk.
Yeah,
you know,
like in the mornings, that's what we're talking
about. This
is going
to be the summer. This is, guys, you're in for a long buckle summer.
Up, bro. Buckle up. All right, guys, thank you for watching, and we will see you next time. Have a good one.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.